Hello and welcome to the So Toxipod episode. I do not know which one, somewhere in season three. Hi, Toby. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm all right. No, I'll be a bit more quiet today. I'm quite hungover. So I'll focus on listening and on asking particular questions.
Okay, so you don't want to have a big intro right now.
Oh, we've had a big intro, have we not?
We have very special guests in the house today, and that's kind of what the topic of today is about. Our dear friends from the Great North are with us, Cigar Club from Canada. Hi, guys. Awesome having you back, and it's a privilege to be able to talk about the upcoming few months with you.
What's up? Hello.
Cheers. I know it's only noon your time. Only noon your time, but you're joining in spirit. Or Toby's joining in spirit. We're actually drinking.
And yeah, you guys are joining with spirits.
With spirits.
We're here with spirits, yeah. We're here supporting the spirits.
Great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty solid, yeah. Just, you know, same old, just writing music and living.
Just living
life, yeah. No, it's been good. Yeah, we're doing a tour soon, so that's cool stuff. You know, how you guys been?
Toby's hungover.
No. Life's been good. Life's been stressful, life's been good. What's the situation that you guys currently face with touring? Is it back to being easy?
Easy?
I think it's definitely gotten easier, like everything kind of opening back up.
Yeah, for sure it's easier now to book shows, and there's less unsureness with the possibility if like shows are going to go through or if they're going to fall through or whatever. Yeah, it's just like a little bit more reassuring that like we are going to be playing the shows that we have scheduled and everything. So it's easier to plan. And in terms of the crowds and stuff, it seems to be like pretty normal now. So.
And where did you guys plan on going?
For this tour, we're just doing like Ontario. We're actually going to like some pretty cool spots. It's like Hamilton, Toronto, Kingston, Windsor. Ottawa, Windsor, Peterborough.
I think Guelph.
We might, yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of dates. It's basically Ontario, like the bulk of the cities in Ontario. So yeah, it's pretty sick, man. Like we haven't played in a lot of these places, so it's gonna be new for us to venture out like 5 hours to go play.
Yeah, I think
that's yeah, big old road trip, huh?
Yeah. Is the plan to basically live inside a van for that amount of time then?
We talked about
yeah, like we were thinking about maybe like renting a truck and stuff or a van, but I think we're probably not going to live in the van. We might use a van to like drive around. Like, I don't know. I feel like that'll be kind of greasy, like especially the four of us in a van. Like, I don't know if we're driving far enough to like do that. Like we could probably rent or like stay at like a Airbnb or like a hotel or something. You know what I mean? Like, but maybe there's the possibility that we might be in a van, but
yeah, we're in a van, pretty crazy. It's gonna be very exciting. It'd be too small of a space for the chaos that would ensue. And like, yeah, it's, I don't know if we could live in a van, man. Like,
yeah. I think you'd have a great time, huh? It'll be steamy, greasy. No place to cook, no place to sleep, essentially. And you're only 5 hours away, so you're just putting it on yourselves.
Yeah, just no place to poop either, so.
Yeah, it would get pretty hectic.
I think that sounds great. Honestly, I'm pretty sure there's people out there who pay good money for a luxury holiday like that, you know? Like van life is huge.
Did not
these
have
days.
A toilet for
yeah, exactly. You know, you're basically going camping, but with friends, yeah, and you're all sleeping in a van.
Could be worse. You could be alone doing that. So, you know, but it's an interesting contrast though, because in the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, when the band started out, there was no Airbnb or usually affordable hotels or something like that. So that seemed like the way to go almost with the vans. It's nice that there's more opportunity now. Plus you're not driving as far, I guess. You're not doing like cross America kind of trips yet.
I think when we do cross country, like cross Canada, because I think that's definitely like a possibility in the near future, we will have to
live in a van.
Either live in a van or like, yeah, like there will probably be certain points where we have to live in the van.
Yeah.
Or sleep in the van, or maybe we'll have like a camper, you know what I mean? That would be nice. Then you'd actually have beds.
Oh yeah, an RV would be sweet.
Like an RV, right? That would be cool. That would be sweet.
Yeah, if you can get a good one with a toilet, you know, that
it's
would
just expensive, so we don't have that money.
Yeah, fair. Maybe build one, but I guess that's a long project too.
Yeah, it could be worth it though.
True. So how long have you been back playing shows now exactly? Seems like a minute.
But I guess October. Played
Velvet Underground was October, yeah.
And but we didn't play like again until,
well, like, because we played like a couple of shows like in COVID, like the mix of COVID.
Yeah, right? There was like Voodoo Rock Fest.
But like,
that was July. That was last year.
I think like year. Continuously, like, what was it? Was it Elmo Combo?
That was recently, yeah.
Well, I guess was like, that like recent, the start of the continual, like.
Elmo Combo was the first gig since October that we played. And then we played like 3 months after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when was that? When was
Alma Combo was in March?
It was like April.
It was March.
March 18th?
Yeah.
March 18th, yeah.
March 18th.
And since then it's been going. So the last month you've definitely been playing regularly, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, the yes came through.
Yeah, we've got like what, 4 weeks?
Barely.
Sorry, you guys, we're cutting a little bit.
I'm gonna turn my video off for the next few minutes just in case.
Sure, let's give that a shot. Are you guys, how's it going back fully? Are you guys excited for like a proper tour, or is it essentially just the same as playing gigs on a non-scheduled basis?
This is different. Like, honestly, this time around is different. Like,
we played
tours. Like, we've said, like, you know, we're touring. Like, in the past, like, we kind of said, like, oh, we're on tour. But, like, this is an actual tour. Like, we have all the dates planned. It's been, like, pre-organized. It's all back-to-back. And it's for, like, a specific purpose.
Yeah.
I guess before, it was just always, like, one-off dates here and there that we were taking. It wasn't necessarily like for something, like for like, this is like a headlining tour, like it's like for our album.
And if I could add to that, like, I think this is maybe one of the first times that like we're kind of promoting like ourselves while playing gigs.
Yeah.
Before it's like we're offered the gig and, you know,
it's like a show.
We just take it. And now it's like, you know, we have our thing on it. Like, it's probably the most it's ever been, like, truly about, like, what we're doing, like, about us, you know? And not only that, but we're also playing with another band. They're playing all the shows with us, Blackpaint. What's their social media? Just Blackpaint Official.
I think it's just Blackpaint.
Yeah, they're amazing. Like, really, really, really sick band. And, you know, we've known them for a bit now. And really stoked to have them playing all the shows in the tour with us.
Yeah, like I think this time around, like we wanted to make it something special because we kind of talked about how it would be really cool to play with them a bunch of shows. Like we thought that we're like, oh, this would be really cool to like play a bunch of shows with these guys because just like the energy of both our bands creates like a really cool like music themed event. And yeah, we kind of just like went with that idea and it's like happening, so it's awesome.
That's awesome. It's really, more people for the band though.
Yeah, it's really neat to have like a consistent tag team of bands essentially, where you're saying most of the dates they're supporting you. And do you also travel together? Is that like part of it that you're going to also kind of arrive and leave at similar times and spend time around the shows together?
They're all going in the van.
Yeah, we're like 12 people in one van and there's only 4 seats. So it's like a clown car.
Some people are strapped to the roof.
Not like that. It's like, honestly, it's like we all drive to the shows. So like we know where the shows are. And we know what times we got to be there and stuff. Like, it's like we book the venues and then, you know, we meet there. Everybody, so all the bands will meet there. And then, like, we'll hang out for the day, basically. Or not the day. It's kind of like the evening or the day or whatever. And yeah, we're all kind of traveling together, but we're not necessarily, like, in the same vehicles, per se, you know.
Okay. A follow-up question I would have is, did you organize this independently or are you now getting support from whatever outside forces that help put this whole tour together? Especially also with, I know you have merchandise that you're going to be carrying around, not just your album, but also shirts, et cetera, which is, I mean, quite an ordeal to organize, I would assume.
Like it's partially like independently us, I guess it is us, like we did do it independently, but we are working with people that are helping us because we kind of came up with the idea and you know the vision of, you know, we want to do this and over time, I guess, like from playing, how long we've been playing for, like we've kind of like built connections and stuff and people that we know if we're playing a certain city, we know people who book venues there and we're kind of like partnered up with their promotion company or whatever and they're going to help us promote that album. And we kind of did that with every city that we've played in. And on top of that, yeah, with the merchandise and everything too, right? Like just bringing together like the merchandise companies to like help us produce the merch and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of like a collective effort, I would say, but
for sure, right? Because we have like Aaron, right?
Yeah, but it's not like a touring company or whatever that we hired. It was like our own group of
network people. Essentially.
Like we have we've like created our crew. Like it's like our crew. It's like the early stages of our road crew. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Well, honestly, because it's probably the people that mostly, like, they fully believe in you and they're passionate about just, you know, supporting you and getting the name of Cigar Club and Day Now out there, essentially, which is probably really cool, like, great energy to have around you.
Yeah, exactly. That was the whole thing, right? Like, to work with people that actually, like, did, I think for a while, we just kind of, like, I don't know, we kind of, like, naive to what we wanted to do or whatever, but, like, just over time, it seems like there's more people who are interested and more people who are like involved in the managing side of music that actually want to help us. So, yeah, it's been very awesome.
Absolutely. Especially because the managing side of music sometimes has.
It's not like a lot of.
Go for it.
What were you saying?
I was just saying we have a lot of people that like, it seems like they genuinely really appreciate, like, you know, our music, and they're actually really stoked about it. Pretty yeah, awesome.
That's, like, that's what it sounds like. It sounds really nice that you can organize this with so much goodwill, you know, with people being prepared to compromise with you so much. It sounds much nicer than having, you know, kind of like a soulless here, come here, firm handshake at the door and kind of walk in, walk out kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing I was going to add is when you go like, well, what you hear a lot about the past 50 years in the music industry, the bigger labels, they just, you're kind of afraid because suits and extortion and et cetera, it's not done with a lot of love. But at the end of the day, this kind of support is invaluable in comparison, I would say. It probably gives you that extra step to perform a show and give it like 20% extra on top of what you're already giving it your all, which is really, really cool. My next question would be regarding now that you're supporting your album, which the last time you were on, we discussed just Dame Now and kind of the tracks, etc. I have to say over time, my personal favorite has actually, it used to be Aliens, and now White Flats has pretty much equaled it. So I didn't see that song growing on me the way it did over time. But it really has, especially like the opening bit. So my question is, does your set list change on a nightly basis if you're supporting an album? Are you playing predominantly music just off the album? Or are you going all the way through it? What's kind of your approach there?
We have like, we built a set list for like the first show basically. And then from that, we kind of just the night of the show, like look at it, be like, what do we feel like playing? Like maybe we'll like move song around, this song around. If we're gonna do a cover, we'll like talk about what cover we're gonna do. We'll throw that in, like throwing that in different places and shit. Just like basically the same songs, but just kind of switch them around in the
yeah. It's like predominantly it's the album. It's the album front to back, but give or take one to three songs extra material, right?
Yeah.
So.
And then you slot them in wherever you feel like on that day.
I mean, we've only played one show for the album so far, and it was like front to back. So it was like Day Now front to back, but we did move, I guess Turn Black and Parable were positioned in different spots in comparison to the album. And then we did like two new songs that are unrecorded. We also did a cover, and we're thinking about maybe bringing back a song that we previously recorded in replacement of one of the album songs. And I don't know, I guess it could change, but like right now it's just basically the album and then some additional stuff if we have more time to fly it. So
well, that's really interesting because at least in Europe, all the concerts I've gone to have always usually for any artist have usually been part of, you know, an album supporting tour. But the definition of an album supporting tour, what you're doing is pretty old school, I think, where it used to like where bands used to literally go around, play their album to people, and that would be the reason people would buy the album. Whereas in Europe, it's often the case, oh, there's a band coming and they'll play all of their hits and two new songs off their new album that they released a year ago or that they're supporting on this tour. I really like the essence of bringing new music to fans and playing new stuff live from the get-go where fans don't necessarily know the text directly, but will quickly get involved with it. You hinted at new songs, so you have further unrecorded material, I assume.
We have like a lot. We have like how many songs we have like actually done, like four.
There's probably like four.
Then we have like 30 ideas.
There's a lot of ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit.
We have like we're looking back here. I don't know if you see. It's like looking back. There's a whiteboard over there, and there's just like a list of songs. Like it's behind this whiteboard here. It'll show you. There's like a whiteboard over here, but on the back of that whiteboard, there's like 30. There's like 30 like
just ideas.
Ideas and they just have like very basic names, like the most fucked up names, like neutral brandy. It's just they're like starter names for ideas.
What is the SFTD Encore? Is that what we did?
That song for today. Yeah, there's just a bunch of shit on a board. They're all ideas and they're all voice notes. And they're all like a minute to like 2 minutes, but like they're gonna become songs at one point. It's actually really exciting to this stuff. Here, Trevor is actually grabbing it. We'll show you. But yeah, like there's been a lot of songs. Like COVID gave us a lot of time to. Oh yeah. Okay, here we go. So here, you can see this list of things.
Naked Mole Rat, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, like Chug Zep, Punky Things, Skunk, Space Cock, Fleet Woody, like. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So there's like 22 tracks that are like in the works right now.
I would ask you to keep the title Space Cock. That sounds great.
Honestly, the song, like, I think it would work as Space Cock, to be honest. Yeah, Space Cock, it's a very space cocky song. So...
sounds perfect. Make it the album.
Yeah, we've been experimenting with a lot of different sounds, actually. Like, kind of going back to our roots, it seems like. A lot of the stuff we're doing is more, it's like, I don't want to say jazzy, but it's like more laid back, kind of like old school jammy, kind of like.
Yeah, probably jammy, not
like jazzy. Yeah, jammy. I don't know, like old, like, what do you even describe it as? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like 70s, 80s kind of jam shit. Not 80s, but like jammy, but then also like new age shit that we like to listen to, like alternative. I don't know. It's just whatever it is, but.
Yeah, I've been told we have
like different R&B. Though. It is R&B different. Elements, yeah, there's R&B elements now. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's really.
Are you,
like,
are you adding new instruments or are you just playing in different tones?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, Trevor started adding a slide guitar.
Oh, cool.
Like a lap steel slide guitar, yeah.
We've Trev's played keys at a couple shows.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn like keyboards and shit, so hopefully I can implement those in some new songs.
Nice. So wait, quick question on the slide guitar. Apart from the fact that you play it differently, why is the sound different? Like, why does it
you play
sound
it,
different
like,
than a guitar?
The strings are like way high off the fucking neck. And you like lay it flat, you tune it to like an open tuning, and you play it with a slide, and it's just...
It's not an actual guitar. It's like a specific instrument. Different.
Yeah, it's like a table almost sort of thing.
But there's different kinds. There's like just what I play is like straight lap steel, but then there's like pedal steel, which is like got the pedals and mad shit, and like that's the thing that like you hear in the country records. It's like
all right.
I could see that really fits Space Cock. Gotta say.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Exactly. Space car. Almost a bit westerny.
Yeah,
that's a bit of prairie sound.
It's kind of westerny. It is actually kind of wet. It's really cool because, like, I don't know where that's coming from. I guess it maybe started with the slide, but, like, it's sick. It's fucking sick.
To give you guys a little insight on how most of these songs have started out, usually entails, we all come here, Dan and I.
This is our jam space, by the way. We're in our jam space.
Dan and I usually smoke a joint right when we get here off the bat. We come in the room, and then we literally just start playing, and then we just do something, a jam, and then we're like, all right, what's that going to be called? And then someone will say, like, Space Cock, and then we'll just write it on the whiteboard. That's like basically the formula of creating music for us.
But can you remember the 22 different riffs that you associate with the different? No, okay.
We have recordings. Okay. We have to record.
They're all voice notes, and we just recently went through them and like went through like 50 voice notes and was like, "What is this going to be called?" And named it what it was on the voice notes and named it on the whiteboard so we can like cross reference to make sure we don't forget it.
That's
because
important.
We did have an issue where we were just creating too much and we weren't finishing. And it just got crazy because we would look at the board and be like, what's this? And nobody would know what it would be. And every time we write something on the board, it is a good idea. Like, we're like, oh, that's a sweet idea. And then we just couldn't remember like half of them. We're like, holy shit. Like, what are we going to do?
That's the problem creating songs when you're intoxicated. Like, you get more creativity, but you also forget it quickly.
No, but I'll tell you what, that sounds great for, though, because if you have that, you know, that like half memory almost, you know, like, yeah, like bits and pieces of memory, and then they become something new, and that'll become the next thing, you know. It's like almost like you're evolving with the music that you're creating. And yeah, of course, you know, maybe you can say, okay, well, we create too much and don't finish enough. But on the other hand, you're evolving your style with this, right? This is a, because I, from storytelling, when you create something and then you kind of half forget about it, you have to adapt to it. Yeah. And it sounds really fun that way. You kind of get to work off of yourselves.
It is really fun.
Yeah, I'm like a big advocate of just like, you know, having that time to like just pick up your instrument and like just play whatever like comes off the top of your head.
Well, you come up with a lot of riffs like that. Like Jeff comes up with a lot of riffs.
All of us.
Jeff wrote Aliens basically. He wrote the whole book.
Tyler and I did it. Yeah.
I'm it's beginning awesome. To sense a bit of a theme here. Aliens, space cock. Did you want to be an astronaut at some point?
We're into definitely extraterrestrial stuff. 100%.
Yeah.
What if you are the aliens that are already among us?
That is. Yeah, that's it. We are aliens.
Kind of sus.
I don't know. Space cocks.
But like the thing is like, what is this fucking space cock?
A good question. Is it a cock in space, or is it different from an
Earth
cock?
Exactly. You know, yeah. did Elon Musk send a cock in space too that we don't know about, or who knows?
Potentially.
Is it only a space cock if only the space cock is in space, or is any cock that is attached to a person that is in space also a space cock?
I think it's definitely up for interpretation.
Yeah. By the way, I expect all of this conversation to be part of the lyrics. Okay, yeah. Kind of like Cotton Eye Joe.
If you're listening, please fund Space Cock so we can make it a reality.
If you can blow that much money on Twitter, why not? Why not this?
We just need like $700 and we do it straight up.
You just need a recording of Elon Musk saying space cocks. And then you can like loop it into, it'd be a great song. Tim singing space cocks. And that's an idea. Well, that's good for the next album. So you said you have four or five songs fully finished and a huge board of ideas. I know you're fully focused on the tour. Is there a goal in general when you want to hit the studio again and get to finalizing the next project?
Like partially, we want to have like two things finished by September time, because we are applying for some funding for the next album, and hopefully we get it. We need two tracks for that, so we're going to record two tracks, and I think during that time though, we're going to be demoing everything. So from now till September. November, actually. I think it's November or September. I don't know. We're just going to demo everything. So we're going to try to get as many songs as possible demoed, like rough demo mix. So we can do like pre-production on that shit. And then two, like fully, I want to say fully, but it won't be fully done, but like mixed and mastered songs kind of like in our pocket to go from there.
Oh. And when you say getting funding, obviously you need money to record an album and the studio space, etc. But who are you applying to fund, get funded from?
There's a bunch of programs in Canada you can apply to. They're like government funded programs for artists. And so there's this one organization, it's called Factor. We actually received a grant from Factor for our first album. So for Day Now, we got a grant from them to do that. So they funded part of that album. It was only like, I guess it was less than 10% of the album, but they still put money towards it to help us, right? So it was good. This next application that we're going for would fund everything. It would fund a full album, it would fund a tour, it would fund the marketing behind it, it would fund everything. So we're trying to go for it. We'll see how it goes. You know, if not, we've been talking to like labels. We've been talking to more people in the music industry. There is interest in I guess, helping us, right? So we're just trying to get our stuff together and package it up so we can go up to people and be like, hey, like, this is what we want to do. If you want to be a part of it, you know, let's come to an agreement, really. So, yeah.
That's exciting. It sounds like we'll see you in Europe in 2023,
24. Yeah, that'll be unreal. Sometime soon, man. It's going to happen for sure.
It won't take long anymore. And then there's so many, like, club venues. I mean, there's a lot of bands. Dirty Mill, for one. They did, like, club tours through Germany fairly early on. And there's always buyers, it seems. For Canadian rock, Germans just get a hard-on. It's amazing.
You will love Europe. Everything's within 5-hour driving distance. You don't have to live in a van.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go through 4 countries in 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. But you said that earlier. I will take a, you know, we'll go a bit further than we ever did before. It's like 5 hours, like, oh fuck. Well, you know, within 5 hours, we can genuinely go from Holland, well, the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg,
France,
maybe reach, nah, probably wouldn't reach Switzerland though, but
maybe.
Dude, Canada's it's just so huge. Like, we drive 5 hours and we're still in the same province. We're not even out of the country. There's so, how many provinces are in Canada? There's like, there's at least 10, right? Like, so we're right? Like, we're still in the same province, like.
Shit.
We're not even moving countries. Like, we're driving 5 hours and we're still in the same freaking place.
I could walk to Belgium right now.
Yeah, if I wanted to walk, like, I could walk, like, if I walked 20 minutes down the road, I would be in some forest somewhere and I would have no idea where I am. Like,
if I drive an hour, I get to Toronto.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Windsor is 5 hours.
Yeah,
is it not? Yeah, Windsor's 5 hours alone.
And it's still part of Ontario, or is that outside of Ontario?
It's right on the border. It's right on the south. It's right beside Detroit. So it's going to actually be the closest we're playing to America ever.
Do you have a fan base there in the U.S.?
There are some people who listen to our stuff in Windsor. So we're hoping that the people in Windsor come out to that show, because I don't know when we're going to play Windsor again. And also, whoever's in America, if you can make it over the border and come see us, like, that would be sweet, right? So,
yeah,
that would be dope.
Perfect. But, well, know, that's the point.
Yeah, that's the point, right? That's the point. So
that's great. That's great. What we still have to figure out is there's a bunch of really cool Cigar Club t-shirts out, and you sent me the pictures to them a week or so ago. So I definitely want my hands on one of those. But there's another way. I wanted to offer the viewers this. If there's anybody from Europe that wants any kind of Cigar Club merch, they should let us know at the podcast here, because we would be happy to work as, you know, the middleman between you guys and them. So if there's anybody that likes the logo of Cigar Club on their page, on their album, the artwork, which I think is always really cool, let us know and we will forward all those requests. So hopefully we can create a little bit of a European pandemonium, if you want to call it that, pre your tour soon.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I sent you those designs. Like, we have our logo. We have one that's like an aliens kind of collage of drawings from our music video. And we do have like an album, like the album tour poster shirts. Like, we're making them right now. Those are going to be very limited though, because we're trying to sell them only at our shows.
Oh yeah.
We want to offer it first to the people who are actually going to the tour, right? If we do have extra at the end, then we will put them online for sale. And then people can buy them there. But yeah, if anybody wants to buy our shirts, like, that helps us out a lot. Like, a lot of money for bands comes through the merchandise. You know, it's not so much the streams. The streams also, you know, they do help us out, but the merchandise primarily is like our primary income and the touring revenue, right? So anything helps. Like, you buy one shirt, man, that goes a long way. That helps us produce more music, and it helps us set up like our jam space and everything, right? It motivates us to continue doing what we're doing. And it's awesome that you guys can help us out like that.
Well, who does the artwork for example, the tour t-shirt, the one that's specific to the tour? I love that design. It's an amazing design with the Grim Reaper on it, the different color contrast. It's a really cool fucking design. Like, regardless what band it covers, it's a cool fucking picture. So where did is one of you guys designing that? Do you know Guy? How's that going?
Yeah, like, we work with a lot of artists. There is one artist that we work with a lot, Maddie. She's done a lot of our art in terms of like music videos and artwork. But for the tour poster specifically, it was just some guy that I found on Instagram, actually. And he lives in Indonesia. And he was doing a lot of that whole theme that you see on that poster. He was doing a lot of that, like the shaded, like kind of like horror-y kind of style. And I just reached out and I said, hey, like, can you help us with an idea? Here's the album, right? This is what we want to do. Just come up with something. And that's what it came up with. And it was awesome. We're like, okay, yeah, sweet. Like, we're just going to go with this. Like, that's really sweet. So, yeah, you've got them to modify a little bit of it and make it into kind of like a t-shirt design and going with that. So
I love that. Toby, I don't know if you've seen that specific poster we're talking about, but because Toby is rarely on Instagram. That's the thing. Toby has not understood the effect of Instagram.
Not at all. I think I have one picture. But no, I don't think I have. But it's, if you send it over, I'll have a look right now.
It's great. I have it somewhere.
Yeah, but don't worry about it then. Then I'll have a look at it.
But it's just this awesome dude. Like, honestly, the picture is so cool.
It's like some like grim, it's like a skeleton. He's like on a raft. He's like,
I got it. I got it. That looks fantastic.
Yeah, he's like, on, like, I get that tattoo. Raft going down the river in like South Asia.
Very specific.
Yeah, and he's like, it's kind of like a mixture of all the things, because for the album, like the themes, like it's got the sun in the background, like the day now sun, like on our album art, the sun's there. We got like the kind of like skull theme guy that I guess we've been having for a while. It's like kind of like a Southeast Asian vibe, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got it going on. And like Parable of the Sea Dogs kind of hints at, you know, like this guy who like goes on this mission and comes back and he's like, it's kind of like dead inside, I guess, like as a theme. Like, yeah, I don't know, it kind of like brings everything together. So
agreed. I think it really conveys the album really well, actually.
Yeah, it fits. The artist is amazing. Like, just for him to come up with that with me giving him nothing but the album, that was perfect. Really
awesome. Yeah, no, I really like the pick. I think that, like, if you see it hanging somewhere in the streets advertising your local show or something, it draws you to it. The one other question I had, Jeff, you had mentioned earlier that you just like to get together and jam. And from that, you kind of together bring up or you know, get ideas and start developing songs. And it kind of starts from the point of everybody gets in the same room and you kind of vibe off each other, I guess. That's actually very similar. And there's very few bands nowadays, especially after COVID, that have brought up music that still functions that way. And the Chili Peppers released a record about a month ago now, and it was fully recorded that way. Like, every single song is all four or five of them live in the studio together. And I think that's also another kind of old school style you guys exhibit there. Do you agree with that? Because I don't think you recorded much when you were distanced, right?
I mean, I think like just doing that is just, I think it's like the purest form of just being a musician, you know, because like, I don't know, like when I started playing music, I just really wanted to play. Like, I wasn't thinking about playing shows or like even with a band, I was just like, when I first started playing bass, I just wanted to play. And I think that's like such a pure form of being a musician, because that's what you're like when you break everything down, like it just comes to us playing and feeling the music. And that's how you make great music. And in my opinion, you know, like feeling it, playing your instrument, feeling it. And I think like you look at bands like, I'm sure Led Zeppelin, like I'm sure they all got into a room and were just jamming, you know, and I'm sure they came up with a lot of stuff doing that. So I definitely, you know, it would be cool if like more bands do that. I mean, it's definitely good to it's good to hone your craft, you know, like just playing with your bandmates and stuff like that. And it's a good way of getting tight too, you know, like we're super tight. And I think a lot of that attributes to just, you know, like jamming out, like creating. And yeah, I mean,
that awesome. Are there like specific songs that like one of you has brought to the table and the others have just said, yeah, cool, we'll go with it and we'll try and think up our part along this to highlight a certain song? Is there like an example of a song? I mean, I know you mentioned Aliens earlier where you said that, or not you, Jeff, but like the others said that you pretty much wrote the song. Are there other examples of that?
Well, and also to go with Aliens, so more in like just
through the whole album.
Like, I mean,
track to track.
Right? Yeah, like, and with Aliens, so I was in my room and I would just like, I had my bass, my amp, and then I just basically like,
basically,
I think I came up with just the just that beginning riff. And I don't even think all the other parts I came up with, but I think I sent it to Tyler maybe, or
I think we were jamming in like grandpa's basement.
Yeah, we were jamming in his grandpa's basement, and basically just from that beginning riff that you hear in the song, Tyler and I we basically created like
the structure,
the fucking structure. And we did this, like, it was crazy. We did this like in a matter of like 2 hours.
Well, it was like 4 practices, basically. Probably 2 to 3 hours max.
To get it down, I think, was like 4 practices. But I think that first practice, we basically came up with like, fuck, like all the other musical parts, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it was more so just the structure of like the root notes and then what the rhythm was going to be. And then once we had that down pat, then we kind of showed Trevor, we showed Dan, and then you guys were like, fuck, we got to learn something now. Right. And then you made up all the parts for the top melodies on top of that. And the lyrics was like a whole other thing too, because you and Dan wrote lyrics, right?
Yeah, Dan and I,
completely changed, right? What happened?
Well, yeah, so basically, like, and I don't even like saying like, because mostly like I was with Dan, but he was writing a lot of stuff. And I think in the chorus, like, so basically in the chorus, you can see like some of the lyrics are what Dan and I worked on. Like in the heat of the night, they take that part. We have like a poem that we usually say at the beginning too. I think Dan and I did that, but
yeah, that's like the first track, Vessel, is that poem.
Yeah. And then, but other than that, I think Dan basically did the verses. He wrote some pretty sick stuff for the verses. So yeah.
Is that a general pattern or just for the song? Thanks for taking this through. That's really insightful, actually. Also the way it's kind of passed around and everybody has their part to do, but is Dan then the general lyricist, or does that vary from song to song and whoever comes up with an idea?
Yeah, it changes. I mean, Trevor's kind of primarily, I think, the main lyricist, but Dan also sings, right? So Dan sings 2 of the tracks on the album. Trevor sings the rest of them.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. Which one?
Yeah. Okay. So, in our band from the EP, Dan sang one song. He sang Raised by Love. And then the 4 other tracks, Trevor is the lyricist or the vocalist. And then in the album, Dan sang 2 songs. He sang Aliens and he sang
Parable of the Sea Dogs, and the rest of the songs Trevor sings. And then the next album is going to be a little bit different, but like
acapella.
Seriously. But yeah, like it depends, like because I came up with some lyrics, like I guess I came up with one line on the EP, but like Jeff writes lyrics too, Trevor writes lyrics, right? And Dan writes lyrics. It's just whatever kind of works with the song, and I guess whoever gets inspired, you know, sometimes we get to the point where we have a structure or whatever, and then somebody kind of takes it on themselves and is like, I'm going to write the lyrics, or I'm going to try to write something here. Or one day we show up to practice and then like Trevor has a whole fucking song written. And we're like, okay, well, that's pretty dope. Like, let's go with that. Right. So it's different every time.
So it vibes. It just vibes. It bounces back and forth. That's cool. That's perfect.
Yeah. Well, like another example is, I guess, White Flats, right? Trevor came to me with White Flats, basically the whole song done, but very similar to how Aliens was written. Trevor and I spent probably like 3 to 4 practices, like weeding out what the structure was going to be and the timing and stuff. I think you already had the lyrics at that point and how you wanted it to be composed. Like you wanted it to just be, you know, vocals at the beginning and shit. Like,
yeah, but it was like messy. We just like, okay. Sculpted that, so.
Yeah, we sculpted it down, and then once we had it down to something that we thought was going to be pretty good to show to the other guys, then, you know, we kind of brought it up to everybody and said, hey, like, this is the song we're working on, this is it. I remember Dan being like, this is the best song, like he really loves that song.
Cool.
And it's a fun song to play live, like just the whole thing.
It's different. It's different,
you know, like to be something fun to play. Like,
yeah. Can I ask a quick question? Can I ask a quick question to my bandmates?
Go for it. Great. Take over our job. Perfect.
What's your favorite Cigar Club song?
Favorite Cigar Club song?
Yeah.
Okay, Trevor, you go first.
Parable or Aliens?
Really? Parable, eh?
Yeah. Maybe Aliens.
Okay, okay.
For me, I don't know. I do really like Parable because it's like a progression of, it's not the same thing over and over again. It like changes every time and it kind of becomes really intense at the end. I love that slide guitar shit. So I do like that. I'd say Parable, okay, I'm going on a basis of playing live. So Parable and White Flats. That's it. Parable, White Flats. Those are my favorite ones.
I'm gonna go swimming, man.
Yeah, swimming. Whoa. Swimming in Gold's good.
Dude,
yeah.
I could put on swimming. Like, swimming is one of them, like,
well, like Cigar Club songs. Song,
it's one of the songs that, like, if it comes on, like, you know, usually, like, I listen to our stuff, like, once in a while. I kind of feel, like, weird while I listen to our own
too,
stuff. Yeah. But if swimming comes on, it gets me amped every time. Like, it's awesome.
That's funny. I think Toby would agree with you too.
I am quite partial.
That's awesome. For me, if we give our input, I guess,
sure.
From a Spotify standpoint, the soul just always touches me. That song just, not that I dislike the new album, but that song, it's one of my favorite songs, period. The way the vocals work with the guitar, and they're completely different melodies, but the way they mix and match and the way the song ends on a note where you think a solo could come, but it doesn't. It's very reminiscent of Rusted from the Rain by Billy Talent. It also stops on a point where you're like, oh my God, there's going to be a great solo here. And it just, the whole song keeps you together. And you have a lot of good songs, like White Flats would be up there as well for me. But that song just takes the cake every time. So I don't know. I love that shit.
When did you write that song, Trevor?
That's OG.
That's from the
original. Yeah.
It is a while ago.
That's when I was in grade 11. So like 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
It's already a classic.
I finished like half of it, and then when I joined Cigar Club, I was like thinking of what I could bring, and I remembered that song, and then I wrote the second verse, and we fucking, I I forget who like came up with the idea to do like don't. Do you remember whose idea that
was? See, that's a great
part. That was back in the day, but that was for me. That was a long time.
I don't know if I can remember that much.
Well, and then Toby and I talk about Miss Jane a lot as well, that song, which is, I don't know, I very much like that. That EP, that I mean, we guys found out where we connected before you brought out your new album. And that EP was awesome already to just get like glued to the screen, I guess, as they would say. Cool, that's a good question, Jeff. That was a good round.
I thought of it and I'm like, it kind of relates to what we're
talking. Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. We have no structure, no plan to talk about anything, so it fits right in.
Okay.
Just go for it.
So I guess from a tour point of view, what are you most excited about for this upcoming tour? You said you played one show already. You've got 8 to 10 more. Check Spotify, anybody. You'll have them all listed there. What are you most excited about for the total tour, for on a show by show basis? Like, what's the biggest deal about this?
We can do each of us on this question. You go first.
I'm excited for how tight we're gonna be by like fourth show in. We're just gonna be like so fucking tight on all the songs, so that'll be cool. And I guess like playing in new places will be fun, and hopefully I can start to feel more comfortable playing live, not be like crippled with fucking anxiety for all of our gigs.
Yeah, I don't know. That's good. Yeah. For me, it's like definitely playing in new locations. I think that's gonna be really exciting. Playing our music in front of people who've never heard our music before. Like, I feel like a lot of the places we used to and we do play at are in locations that, you know, not necessarily the same people come to, but there is a scene, right? So like a lot of the people who do come to our shows, like, have seen our sets before. This is going to be completely different. Like, this is going to be to a whole new audience who's never seen us play. We've been playing for like 5 years. So it's like, you know, same old to us, but to them, it's just, I feel like that's really exciting. And the fact that we get to drive and go and like, we're just out on our own, just fucking doing this and just kind of like playing our music, you know, like our stuff, and that we're passionate about like this project, you know, that we're like, we're able to do this and back it. Like, I think that's what I'm excited about with the tour. So,
yeah. Like if all the rest of the tour dates are like the Hamilton gig, I mean, I think there's like a different energy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that Hamilton gig, like our energy was like crazy. Like it felt like, you know, like, and I don't know how this sounds, but I feel like when we were like on stage, like the moment we went on stage in that gig, like we just kind of didn't give a fuck, like not in a bad way, but in a way where like we just fucking played, like we got in the zone. Like,
yeah, you were free.
We got in the zone and we locked in and we didn't. And when I say didn't give a fuck, I think I mean like we didn't care. Like we were rocking the fuck out.
Like, we're just jamming. Day. Like we're just doing
we were our rocking thing. The fuck out. And, you know, I remember us like going back, you know, like when we first started playing, even pre Tyler days, like we really had like no stage presence in the sense of like we were on stage and if you were looking at us, you could probably tell that we were nervous, like that kind of thing. And I think now, like, you know, we're still working at it, obviously, that I'm sure there's a lot more we could do in regards to, you know, how we are on stage and like, you know, how we can get the crowd most amped up and, you know, hyped and stuff. But I think we're like getting there. And I think this tour, like if it's like the Hamilton gig, like there's going to be a different energy, like to Cigar Club, like it's going to be, you know, very, you know, hopefully people are very amped and yeah, it's going to be very high energy.
Thanks.
How do you think the first gig will compare to the last gig? Do you think you'll garner more people, and maybe the last gig will be even fuller? Or what's your expectation?
We got off to a hot start, man. Honestly, with the Elmo gigs, we played the Elmo combo like twice, and the Elmo combo, like, man, I had like people in my family, like, you know, like they're all middle age and like the more up age, and they're like remembering the Elmo combo. Like, it was a legendary place, like in the 1970s in Toronto. Like, you have what, like Rolling Stones have played there. They literally have a staircase of like all the people that have played there. And there's so many like names where you just look at the names and you're like, why the fuck am I even playing this? So,
mm-hmm. You know, you've played in the same venue as the Stones. That's insane.
It's crazy, man. Like, and we played it twice, and we played it both times. It was fucking packed.
Yeah.
So second, it's like,
was like over capacity.
Yeah, so we got off. We got off to a pretty hot start, and even the Hamilton gig was really good too. That the Hamilton gig, the lineup I think is probably like the best lineup that we've.
Yeah, that was
and like yeah. Just for, and I shouldn't say that because we played with great bands. We played with really, really great bands, but just for like, in regards to like a vibe, like. Literally the first to the last band that night.
It was so cool,
absolutely mind-blowing. Like, it was insane.
That's epic. I think it's funny because when you play live, each show is different, but also the same in a way, because you're playing the same songs, or a lot of the songs are the same. And I guess my question is, you said you're going to try and, you know, get the tracks down so you can get rid of your anxiety a little bit, pre-stage anxiety maybe, but also I would kind of expect that depending on the vibe and the audience that is there, and you know, the way the night kind of sets in, that you might end up playing differently every night, but in a good way, not like not at your best every night, but your best will be a different performance every night, because it depends on the context of the venue, who's there, etc. I think you're set to kick some ass, honestly. That's really, really cool. I'm excited for you.
Go pretty well. I mean, Hamilton, we've played Hamilton before, so you know, I wasn't expecting the turnout that there was, but it was still really good, right? Like, it was still like, it's not like what our Toronto turnouts are like, but for Hamilton, it was the best that we've had. In terms of like the other gigs and stuff, I'm really interested to see like how those are going to turn out. So it's like very uncertain, right? Like, we don't know, like we may be playing in front of like nobody. I don't know, because we're going to places that we have very little fan bases with, right? So it might just be like how we started off in Toronto, right? Playing in fucking just a room with like four people or some shit. Like, maybe that's how it's going to be, but we're still going to fucking bring it, right? We're going to bring the energy, and hopefully those four people are going to love it. But yeah, hopefully it's more than four people, right? We're talking close to 100. That'd be sick. But see how it goes, man. See how it goes.
I'm sure the night by night approach is best, and kind of just honestly enjoying it, taking it in. Because it's a huge experience to that. You have your own headlining tour, and like, you're playing venues that a lot of other famous bands played while getting famous. So it seems like you're on the right track. So from a guy with zero knowledge and experience, I would just wish you just have a blast, just fucking enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters, right?
And you know, at least you get a cool trip in a van.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Memories.
Yeah, that's it.
What it's about.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Awesome.
Do you want to maybe, if you have it, do you want to talk us through the dates and locations that you're planning on visiting?
Yeah, this would be good for any Canadians or the Ontario area that are listening to this show. Thanks for Ontario. Your support. Yeah, after you guys came on the first time, we've had a consistent Canadian-based following on our show, which is really, really cool. So I assume people will listen to this show and you know, find and track where to get you guys live.
Here, I have the dates. Okay, so boom, for the people listening, May 13th, Windsor, May 20th, London, May 21st, Toronto, May 28th, Kingston, June 5th, Barrie, June 17th, Peterborough, and June 18th, Oshawa. And for locations and stuff, just go to our website that we have, the link tree. All the locations are there. It's like Meteor, Sneaky D's, The Mansion, Queens, Red Dog, Atria, and some other place in London. I can't remember off the top of my head, but full respects to London for having us out. So
for shout out to London. The London Knights. OHL.
Yeah, so that's it.
Otherwise, I think they're all on Spotify, right? On your
the ones on Spotify are all a day before, but that might be the
Palace Social Bowl in London. That's what it is. It's like, yeah, it's a cool venue.
But okay, so yeah, dates on your website, on the Spotify artist page, day now obviously available there too. How will the record procedure go? Have you start? I see one vinylist set up, or it's just the artwork in the background of your video there. Have you started looking at vinyl production? I know it's more expensive than most other music mediums, but how is that going along? That would be my final question from a selfish point of view, because I can't wait to get my hands on that record.
It's happening. Like, we were planning, the last time I talked to you guys, we were planning to do it probably around this time to have vinyls, but we ended up using all the money towards the tour and towards our recording setup here. So we bought a little bit more gear so we could do recording in our own jam space. We thought that was probably more beneficial right now. I think the plan is hopefully we get this all set up, but like once we do the tour, right, we would have grown a fan base and we're playing the album, so we're promoting the album, and so we'll gain some listeners. And then so at the end of the tour, planning to have, you know, some releases with the LP, so the actual vinyl being released, and probably some limited edition merchandise with the album art and stuff like that. That would be happening after the tour. So
makes sense.
The plan. Hopefully it all works out. So that would be probably around like July time, July-ish.
Meaning all Cigar Club fans should keep an eye out for a summer surprise potentially from Cigar Club and being
definitely
able to get
a
there.
Summer surprise.
Summer surprise.
Yeah, just keep your eyes out for a summer surprise.
Hashtag spacecock.
Yeah. Spacecock, you don't know, it's a surprise, right?
Spacecock, signed by Cigar Club.
Could be a neutral Randy too.
Great. I don't have any more questions from my point of view. I don't know if there's, we always like to give our guests space and room to address points of view from their own, if they have questions for their own bandmates or something like that. So I'll hand it over to you. If there's anything you want to still mention, if we forgot something.
That's about it. What I will say is, obviously there's three members on the couch right now. One guy's not here, Dan. So shout out to Dan, who's not here, but he's here in spirit.
Yeah.
He wanted to be here, but I think he has like a D&D campaign or something. Dungeons and, what is it? Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. Yeah. He has like a, or maybe it's like Magic the Gathering or something like that. He's a wizard. His second job is being like a wizard, whatever that means, but he wishes he could be here, but you know, he loves you guys, and yeah.
Well, cheers. Say hi.
That's
to him.
Appreciated.
Toby loves D&D, by the way, and does a bunch of D&D games himself, So maybe there's a connection point there.
We're all wizards here.
Yeah.
We're all wizards. You're a wizard, Harry. Different wizard.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
that's about it.
Then on that bombshell, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast and giving us some insight into what's coming up in the next couple months for you. We will be supporting you from afar and can't wait till we see footage, new music, whatever it may be from Cigar Club. And we look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
Enjoy your day. It's still young for you, I guess.
Yeah. We're going to have a night out now.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah.